This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We watch miracles from heaven, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Hey.
I love bread.
Is that Oprah?
It's an old one.
It is Oprah.
Aww.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun, the first Good Christian Fun. Excuse me.
Wow.
Getting choked up just thinking about all the memories of the past year. But it's the first Good Christian Fun of 2019. I'm Kevin.
I am Caroline.
And we're here to have Good Christian Fun. Caroline, what is Good Christian Fun?
This is a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture that you and I both grew up in as a stalwart young Christian women and men.
Mm-hmm.
And are familiar with. And so we talk about it on this show and talk about our experience and get to hear from our lovely guests that come on and share a little bit of their piece.
Carmen, Newsboys,
Amy,
Christmas with a capital C,
Sandy,
Pure Flakes, Bible Man,
Bob, Tomato,
Salty, Veggies.
Yeah, all those guys.
All this a part of our world.
Yeah,
like
but
a shitty remake of Little Mermaid.
Like a horrible upside down of good entertainment.
That's right.
Yeah, but we are, we're both part of the faith, but we're not here to proselytize or make anyone go to church.
We don't want to make you go to church.
I don't even want to go to church.
I don't want to make you go to church, Caroline. I don't want to make myself go to church.
But if you are a churchgoer, we won't shame you either.
We will shame you, though, if you believe bad stuff, though.
Yeah, if you go to, like, a racist church, shame on you. Shame, hard shame.
Oh, boy. It's 2019. How do you feel so far in the new year? You feeling good about it?
Yeah, I guess so. If I'm projecting my future self, I think so.
You know, we're doing the movie Miracles from Heaven. What miracles do you want to see accomplished in 2019?
I just want to see you, I don't know, go on a date or something.
That would be a miracle?
I'm kidding.
Oh, interesting. But the topic for today is Miracles from Heaven, but a 2016 movie starring Jennifer Garner about a child with some sort of illness.
that encounters something. There's a tree.
And a miracle.
And a miracle. Maybe going to heaven, maybe coming back and talking about the experience.
And Queen Latifah.
And Queen Latifah. But we're going to need a very special guest to help us talk about it.
That's right.
Have you listened to this show? Ladies and gentlemen, you may... She is an actress, a writer, and comedian. You may know her from her team, Wild Horses. Ladies and gentlemen, give it the hell up for Erin Whitehead!
Yay!
Hi!
Hello!
Okay, I feel less bad after hearing that intro.
Good.
I don't think you said anything about your levels of Christianity anywhere in there. Not a, even a little bit. I don't
really?
I don't know how level up you are.
I feel like there saying we levels. Don't want to make you go to church is a level.
It's like, but
right?
That's one level.
That's a You're huge saying that's... area.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, do you guys pray at night? Like, do you go to church every Sunday? Like,
occasionally, but not often. And
are you still having doubts?
Yes. I would say occasional to both of those.
Jesus.
Are you, wait, is
are
that like
not
a...
Are we talk about things that I can, know about?
We can talk about things.
You
sure.
should. I
also, if
like
you
that.
Want a miracle about Kevin going on a date, that's how we became friends.
I
that
know.
Is how we became friends.
I didn't
yes.
know I was on a date with Kevin because I thought...
Oh, I...
Wait, when you guys went out, you
oh,
didn't
boy.
Know you were on a date?
Well,
why?
Here's maybe...
I
here's
thought he
maybe
was just... I won't say it. But I thought I was just on... I thought I was meeting up with the host of a podcast, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I thought we got along really well. We'll be friends.
Let's back
then.
It up.
Yeah,
you,
yeah,
were,
yeah.
you were on Gilmore,
okay.
guys.
Okay.
You were very fun and very funny on that
I
show.
I know. Uh-huh.
One of our favorite episodes. Well, I know. Good grief.
You had to cut out so many awful things I said.
You did say some awful stuff I had to cut out.
Yeah.
I remember that. Now.
I still remember what
awful
I said.
How?
You have a great memory.
Because you told me what I said, and when people repeat my jokes to me, I remember them forever.
Was it a Me Too kind of joke?
Yeah.
It was.
It was pre-Me Too. Yeah.
It was a pre-Me Too. So you were ahead of your time. It's really
well, women have
issue.
Known about Me Too. We just didn't call it that.
Ah, I see. And then yeah, we went out to coffee. And you,
yeah, we went out. Yeah, we met
was
for coffee.
Was it like proposition? Is like, oh, let's hang out again. This was, we
yeah.
Was, I'd like to see you.
It okay. was, yeah. We were texting after. I sent the courtesy text. I send literally every guest. Hey, you were really funny. It was a great time on the show. Blah blah blah.
I didn't
blah.
Know you sent that.
But then we kept texting.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then, but
we got along very well.
When you
we
asked
did.
For coffee, were you purposely keeping it gray?
No.
No, he was. He thought he'd been black and white. This was the funniest thing. Like, I can't tell you how funny this reveal was to me when you were like
in the middle of Studio City, California.
In Studio City on Tahunga Boulevard.
What coffee shop?
What a aroma! Aroma on Tahunga.
Nice.
And you were like, I can't remember how it came up. Maybe even dating came up, and you were like, "Well, this is a date." And I was like, "Do you want me to say what I said, or is it?"
Yeah, you can say it.
I go. But you're gay. Because I was like,
that's right.
And I didn't even mean it like in the way that someone, I've had people be shitty and be like, you're gay. You're gay. And I wasn't yeah. doing that. I'll tell you who it was too. I can't stand her. But
wait, someone that said that to you, you're
yes,
gay and you don't know it?
Yes. And it was, she was coming on to me. She was like, I'm in an open marriage. You're gay. You just don't know it. I was like, you're the worst.
I think assuming identity is always tricky. Right.
Well, but I'm saying I accidentally did it to you, but I was so certain that that's why I was shocked. I was like, this can't be a date. I was like, you're 12 and you're gay.
I'm a 12-year-old
I'm
gay
old,
boy.
Mm-hmm. Man. And a woman. What
oh,
are
man.
We doing? Like, I was shocked.
A man in the mirror is hard to look at.
And
sometimes.
I remember
that's
there was a I remember there was a friend of mine that I knew from church years ago. That also shot, and he was like, we just saw each other in passing. He just happened to be there. And you said, he's gay too.
Did I?
Yes.
Well, that seems like I was just leaning in. I feel like maybe I was going hard
yeah.
at that point.
And then
point.
You just started pointing at everybody.
Everybody.
Gay,
I was like, she's gay,
gay
he's gay, gay. We're gay, we're all gay.
It oh took about three dates or three miracles, as I call it, to convince like, no.
Wait, how did I you recover at that moment? You said no, and then you said, are you sure? Or you were like, oh, my mistake.
For weeks, I was like,
yeah.
I feel
right.
like you're not
yeah.
looking at something. Oh, man.
You really challenged me to think deeper about that stuff. And I remember you really bumped
and
up
how
about
is
the Christianity
that all going?
Stuff.
What are, where
the
are we
The sexual identity
yeah.
stuff. Oh, I still feel pretty secure identifying as straight.
Yeah.
Until, what was it? Yeah, what 7:28 p.m. tonight. Yeah, that's right.
Oh man, yeah, that's like a thing you hear every once in a while, and I can imagine it would be like not hurtful in that like, oh, it's hurtful that someone would think I'm gay. Like that's not a bad thing, but just more of like, no, I know what I know.
Well, we've lived through a time and culture where it went from when I was a kid.
This was a tweet.
Keep going. Motherfucker.
We were just talking about this.
But that's true.
Yeah, no. It's keep going. Salient. Finish your thought.
I think we should always plagiarize our own Twitters.
That's
for
right.
Podcasts. That's
better
where the
than
jokes
each
are.
Other's Twitters. Yeah. We've lived through a time and culture where it went from being a slur to being a compliment, kind of, right? Where it's like, depending on who you are, obviously, in the context, but generally, it's more of like, oh, I assume you're gay because. It's not because I thought you were weak and I thought you were blah. It's usually like because you were neat or you had a certain manner.
Oh, I see
or an
what
interesting,
you mean. Yes.
Like, I feel like it's more associated with positive.
Nothing negative made me feel you were gay.
Right.
It was just this. I truly was like,
would
your family be okay if you said you
oh,
were?
Oh, I know. You kept playing all the scenarios like, are you just afraid?
Well,
is it like a
this is where the Christian thing
wow.
came
yes.
into play because I was like, I feel like maybe it's been stopped. I really was being very rude. I mean, it was very rude on my part to continue to be like,
but you were self-aware about it. You said, I know this is rude, but like you were.
Well, then I got away with it, didn't I?
When you just kind say, of.
Yeah,
know
if you
rude.
Say like, I know I'm being an asshole, but you can say
however,
anything you want.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's like, it's not something you want to like force speculation on, but I understand a little piece of it too, of being like, but you know, you do come from this culture where like, it isn't super easy to come out all the time. And like
no.
in Christianity, there's a lot of people that just don't for safety reasons or family reasons
yeah.
and all that stuff. So
yeah,
yeah.
It's always, and you know, we've gotten flack on this show, even like jokingly like, oh, I think this person might be a closet case. I think this person, cause it's just like, especially when you don't know them, it's different.
Like
that
you've
was
gotten
a personal,
flack for saying that about people or?
For like openly speculating in
yeah,
past
right.
episodes, like maybe
cool.
this person, maybe
yeah.
they aren't, but.
Yeah, it really is an interesting, like, because it's such.
Wait, how'd the rest of the date go?
Well,
you had several more.
We did. We hung out a bunch.
We renewed for two more.
I was so certain I could make him admit it. I was like,
yeah, you were trying to convert
me. You were interested.
I was trying to convert. I was number one trying to convert.
You had interesting
tactics. I wanted to make you gay and atheist. I tried
that's right.
so hard. Like, on both counts, I was like, oh, get him.
I don't think so.
But it didn't work.
Anyway, not such a miracle, Caroline.
No, I know it's not. I shouldn't tease you. You do very well.
I do very well. Now that makes me
not very well.
Thank
you.
You
do well.
I do medium to
you
poor.
See the people you want to see. I think that's
okay.
I think that's like a good success.
Maybe
like
for
a
bear who thinks he's a cat, you are really the cat's pajamas.
Hey,
you got some honey.
What a nice
on
tie
up
on top. You know, I'm really trying to pick an edit point at which I'll like cut out all the stuff we're saying
well,
about.
I feel like you'll have to, we should just start the whole thing over.
No. No. What a genuine moment to start on.
I think it's nice. So, but you two talked about like religion with each other.
Yes.
I remember when I told you about starting this podcast, you were like happy about it.
I was
like,
so proud of you because I thought you were going to talk about all your past and then talk about how you were leaving it.
I think,
I don't know
if you're wrong.
Why do you root so hard for us like leaving it?
I don't have any stake in you because I don't know you.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Whatever you believe and want or feel is right for you. I think because I got to know Kevin and I was like,
this is a bad
you
fit.
You were in a big, like, I don't know if this is what I believe.
Sure.
Cut anything out you want.
I know.
Like, okay.
No, I wouldn't cut out any of this.
But, and then when you said you were in therapy talking about it, I was like, that's cool. And you're like, yeah, he's Christian. And I was like, oh my God. Like that felt so wrong to me. I just felt like you were being like, you were like starting to think outside of what, in the way you've been raised.
Uh-huh.
And you were sort of being encroached upon by like they were like, okay, you mean therapy, but he's a Christian therapist.
Like whatever box he could have broken out of, there was still like another box of Christians
yeah.
guarding it. So he wouldn't have like,
you didn't feel like I was surrounding myself with enough pluralism of thought then. Like there wasn't enough people being like, I think this is some bullshit or I think this is good. Like you thought it was just kind of all the same flavor.
Well, I'm just surprised you didn't just go to a normal therapist.
I just went to him. Well, first of all, I went to him because the church I was going to at the time was paying for him. A little bit.
Okay, yes. Do you see how fucked up that is?
No.
Do you see how fucked it up is that you're doubting your faith so the church pays for a specific therapist?
But that wasn't why he was going.
That was not the reason. And his
I
goal.
I don't know, man.
It's been 5 years. His goal is not to realign people. people with their faith. It's a totally different thing. Anyway, I don't need to defend my therapist.
That's what they say. I don't. Okay.
But see, this is a tough game where it's like, I'm straight. Meh.
I know. I know. It's
my
the
therapist
worst.
Is good. Meh.
I know.
What a doubting Thomas. Speaking of doubt.
Doubting Thomas.
Well, just doubting like the veracity of what I'm saying, right?
Why is that? I'm just wondering. It's not even like phonetic. Why is it doubting Thomas?
Oh,
why?
Doubting Thomas is a...
Doubting Doug? Or...
It's a like Bible story.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I feel like that's a common aphorism, right?
No, I've never
yes,
heard
it
that.
Is.
Doubting Thomas
Negative
is real.
Nancy. Chatty Cathy.
Says the girl who, when we said, do you like Taylor Swift? You said, which one is that? So I'm not going to trust you knowing or not knowing Doubting Thomas.
It's true. It's
oh, man.
True.
Well, Aaron, I'll show you as someone that knows Kim pretty well, too. Like, if there's something he doesn't want to believe, he won't. So,
well, all right.
I don't think he's brainwashable.
If I don't want to believe, Caroline truly loves me.
Good. I'm glad that you are
he,
a straight Christian.
Much
have
as I try to
life.
Convince him.
But we're still friends. You're here. So it's okay.
I'm not against people feeling different. You set yourself up when I met you in a very different way than you're claiming
Which
now.
Is what? Wait, you think I'm changing it a little?
No, I just feel like it's... I didn't go in going, I'm going to change this person because I don't like the things that they're saying. I entered a situation and was like, whoa, everything I'm sensing, and I have very good instincts, is like,
yeah,
and being told it's slightly off. And then like, you're saying you're having doubts, but then the story keeps being like, but I'm seeing a Christian therapist, like, and now I'm starting a Christian podcast. I think it's insane. What's happening?
Because, yeah, you just think I'm not like...
I don't know what I'm not even going to make a statement that you are denying anything or that or whatever. I just something is.
You just want me to charge full speed one way or the other. It sounds like. Right.
I don't think I have a want here. I think what I'm saying is I am sensing something and then something else is being told to me and I'm confused.
Well, that would be a frustrating experience. No, I feel like I'm communicating.
No,
something.
I think you are wanting me to have like a want or a frustration when I'm just going, I'm looking at a painting and here are the colors.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the colors are splotchy grays and diarrhea browns.
Oh, boy.
All over the canvas.
Nah, it's a fun it's bear. Red. It's an adorable
a
bear.
A bear painted with diarrhea brown.
There is a redhead bear. It's called a red panda.
All right.
But that could be it.
Speaking of transitions.
I had to finish the picture in my head, which was like, it's a bear, but I think it still has red hair. Which one would it be? I couldn't remember.
It's an interesting, and I will say honestly, sincerely, those conversations with Aaron back in the day, those really did challenge me in a different way. Like, I feel like I had been challenged before, but Aaron was very thoughtful and even despite all the things we're saying, sweet in the way she like communicated with me. I was like, yeah, I do want to push on this. I do want to figure out and like press on these pressure points a little bit more.
Well, and you were very young, right? Like you were 22?
No, I was 26. Or 25. No, I was 26. I was 26.
How old are you now?
I'm 29. So it wasn't that different.
I guess that was a thing we had going too. I kept thinking you were way younger than you were.
Right.
That was a fun bit we had.
What a great bit. Yeah, you were like, do you need
everything
anything?
About you is wrong.
Yes, exactly. It was a great bit that led to many more great bits.
This is a sitcom I would love to watch. Like, just you two and all the misunderstandings.
And me saying,
and
like,
honestly,
I really
the
respect
way you two
your words. And you're
other.
Like, yeah,
it's
I think
so
you're gay.
It does feel like a 90s sitcom where I'd like jump into a room and be like, gotcha. And then you'd like not be holding a, like a dildo would be a cross. And I'd be like, damn it.
Oh man. Well, do you have any background with faith or history or religion or anything like that?
No. I mean, I was raised by two atheists mm-hmm. who both came from religious upbringings, but nothing like hardcore. They both just rejected it at a certain point.
Were they like... upset about it at any point? Did they feel like they had gone through, like, were they been mistreated through it or anything like
that?
Not
at all. Like, I think both of them were raised in families that were pretty mild in terms of, like, you went to church. I don't even know if they went to church every Sunday or if it was more of a holiday thing.
Yeah.
And all my grandparents were very, like, my grandparents, my mom's side, were very open-minded. They continued to be religious till the end of their lives, but not in a down your throat kind of way. Mm-hmm. Until like the last couple of years. Whenever everybody is in the last couple of years.
When they suddenly intensified in the recent years?
Yeah, I think when people get really old, like, I mean, I have an aunt and uncle who are now pushing God in church, and I'm like, you're Unitarians. Like, what? That's not even a real thing.
I've never heard of evangelical Unitarians. Yeah. That's a new flavor.
Oh boy, they get really, or my uncle gets really into like, he's like, Aaron, I just want to talk to you about the word God, because God can mean anything. God, it could be the universe or whatever. And I'm like, really, God could be a pickle. It could be a sundae. I just want God to be food. But it's delicious. Just like, I was like, why are we having this conversation?
Yeah.
He felt like it was urgent to tell you that for some reason.
Yeah. Like, well, he did a lot of God talk in like a family event at one point and probably.
Oh.
Everybody felt my eyes roll back into my head.
So for Men in Wine, it was just very irrelevant to life.
Like the way I grew up?
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like you had hostility towards it. It was just like, eh.
It was like, I think my framing of it, or the way I understood it, was there are some people who believe this pretend thing, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Now I laughed as I said that because I felt like it was insulting to say to you guys.
Oh, that's okay. No.
I feel insulted.
I don't feel insulted by that.
I know, because you guys are like, everybody gets there in their own time. You're like waiting for me.
No, I'm not here to jump you.
You feel like
you're
about to get sneak attacked?
All of you want that.
Oh my God. I know. What a horrible podcast we've created.
At least at this point, I really don't. I really don't feel like there's even like a heaven and hell after here that I'm trying to like get anyone into.
Really?
Where are you dead and nothing now?
I don't know.
Whoa.
I'm a little bit in between.
So you believe in God, but not the concept of hell or heaven?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
Or not as like burning in forever or with harps forever. I know it's not very like quote unquote biblical. And so I just, the more I think about them, the less they really gel with everything. And so I'm just very comfortable being like a cherry picking Christian in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess because of that, like I feel often very ambivalent about people like wanting to accept this or not. And so I don't feel
if
like
you believe people are going
I'm
to
seek
hell,
attacking.
Then
yeah. Then there's always this like tension of like, but I must care for Erin and like make sure she's okay.
It's like,
but I don't
we can laugh
really
about it, but
like
I'm going to text you after and be like, seriously, how are you doing?
Maybe
there'll
wanna,
be an
like,
opportunity
talk about
for the gospel.
It.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I feel like that's creepy. I don't like how that feels. I don't like how I feel when like Christians do that to me too.
Right.
I remember trying to do it one time, like it was 9 or 10 years ago. I met with a buddy of mine from college in Burbank at this taco place, and he had just gotten this new job and we were catching up. We had classes together like sophomore year. And I remember being like, I started going to this new church and it's actually really good. Maybe you should come. And that I think that's the last time I tried.
Yeah.
Cause it was like, he's like, oh, I'm good. Like, he wasn't like, hey, fuck you. Like, he wasn't strange about it.
Right.
It was just like, oh, I'm good, man. Thanks, though. He was very sweet and cheerful about it. And it didn't affect our friendship adversely. I was like, and then that just made me feel worse. It didn't make me feel like, oh, well, you can't get them all. It was like, what am I doing? So I don't think I ever tried to do that after that time.
To me, it would almost feel like if you tried to get your friends to join a pyramid scheme.
Multi-level marketing.
Yeah. I feel like it's more of like, I'm trying to get you to go to the gym. Like, no, it's really good for you. And like, there's something for everybody. Like, you don't have to lift weights or whatever. But just some people don't like the gym. I'm like, they're doing their own thing. And I just have to respect that. But they could be like, no, I'm glad you have that discipline in your life. That's fine.
That's
true.
I have had people try to convert me to exercise.
Yeah, that one in particular. You've rebelled against.
I have.
I feel like I'm doing that thing where I'm being like, I'm a cool Christian.
But
like,
actually,
don't worry about
nice.
It. Like,
well, now it's
fine.
Because I'm also being the gritty atheist who's like, you're all fake.
But what a fun spice to put into the broth of this podcast called Good Christian. And this, by the way, the feeling that you have is the feeling that I had when talking about this all those years ago. And because I just wanted to be likable or to not be impressive, but just be like, it's okay. And like, it's hard to convince someone of safety, especially when there's like such cultural baggage and nonsense attached to labels and stuff, which is why it's like the cafeteria Christianity thing of like, yeah, maybe there's a God. I don't want to do heaven or hell is so much more appealing because then you can pick and choose.
I wanted to ask about your childhood a little more. When your parents, like, did they ever talk about their atheism with you? Was it ever, like, something they wanted to impress upon you? Or they were like, find your own journey?
Not at all, because to me, atheism isn't, there is no...
It was just, like, the lack of religion. It's a lack of. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I was never, like... My dad was a scientist, and both my parents were very, like... If I had a question, they just answered it in the most scientific direct way you could. Mm-hmm. You know, like I grew up calling it my vulva, and I didn't say poop. I said BM, amazing, like bowel movement. You know, like we're all very like clinical. Everything has a name. There's mm-hmm. no shame in that. Like, and with death too, like death, sex. I was like, I remember my mom told me what sex was when our cat had kittens. She just like explained to me what happened, and she goes, people do it the same way. And I was like, Like,
people do not do it the same way as cats beat.
Well,
does.
I'll tell you what.
It is awful.
I did then picture my dad like taking the scruff of my mom's neck and his teeth. No, I don't think she got that graphic. I don't know. But
hey, a new tradition. Cutting out a kind of rapey thing and two podcast episodes in a row.
You don't have to cut that out. It was fun.
It was fun.
But yeah, so we didn't talk about it. I mean, I just wouldn't have come up. Like, even asking about death and stuff, because I didn't have a concept of God, I wasn't like, well, if we don't believe in God, what do we believe in? No, it was just like, yeah. Oh, that's sad. When you die, it's forever. Like, yeah. That's all I knew, you know?
When you, like, encountered people who were believers in some faith, like, did you have friends in school or anything like that? Because that's just something I've heard of, like, oh, I had a friend who took me to youth group and then I like had questions about it or something. But otherwise, I didn't.
Well, I remember when I found out Santa Claus wasn't real, which was moment one. It did create this strange condescension or hierarchy with the kids that did. Because I was like, oh, what's Santa bringing?
I found out
Christmas?
Really young. What's
Santa? Like snickering.
Santa.
Yeah, I found out so young. I was like, I was three and I had a sense. Again, I was like, I feel like it's my dad. I feel like it's my parents. Yeah. And I was like, I need you guys to tell me the truth. And they were like, but it's Santa's. And I was like, I need you to tell me the truth. Like, I was like in tears. And I was like, I just have a bad feeling. But I was also certain that they were going to be like, you're insane. Santa's real. So I was like, it's just a bad feeling. And they're going to make me feel better.
I just want Santa.
Yeah. And so finally they were like, okay, it's us. And I sobbed.
At three? That's so little.
Wow. At three. I think I was three or four, maybe, but like very little. Yeah. And I went to school and told a little girl, which like I feel like happens all the time. It's like if a kid is like ready to to know, then they believe you. And if they're not, they're like, your family does it differently. Mm-hmm. And this was, I guess this happened. I must have been four when that happened, because then I was five. My dad died, and then I guess I had told this little girl that the next Christmas, and her mom called my mom and goes, your daughter ruined Christmas for all of us. She ruined it for me, for her husband, for our two daughters, and one of her daughters is an infant.
You had a lot of power over that family.
I just couldn't believe she would call up the wife of someone who had just died. And say your daughter ruined our Christmas
our
by
holidays
talking
are
about
bad.
Santa.
Maybe she said, sorry for your loss. Anyway, to my point.
Well, the true loss.
Yeah, the true loss
was the belief in Santa. Yeah.
You ruined it for my husband.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that bad? Yeah.
I feel like that's, I don't know, that's like the deal they have to accept. Like, this is a trick we're doing. They're going to find out somewhere or another.
Right. I mean, it's like when someone gets mad. I've seen this happen too.
The world
you know,
is gonna
it's
happen
like
to their kid.
When someone tells a secret they weren't supposed to tell, or when they've lied and then they get caught, they're always so angry. And it's like, well, you even if the person did say something, like, you're mad because you got caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you lied. Knew it was a flimsy premise.
Yes.
Like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Called your mom
so yeah,
it's bad.
You didn't really have friends that were believers in anything growing up?
When we moved to North Carolina, there were definitely more Christians. And I remember I went over to this girl Nicole's house, and I guess I went over there, and a couple other girls did too, and their moms were there. My mom was there. I don't know how this happened, but the moms were inside having coffee or whatever, mm-hmm. and we went outside, and they wanted to do they wanted to make up this song too that went to this old Sprite campaign that went, I like the way you make me laugh, I like the funny things you do, you're such a kick to have around. And they changed the word. I like the Christ in you. And nice. I go, I don't want to sing that because I don't believe in God. And one of the girls goes, but you believe in Christ, right? And because she
Ooh,
said it.
She got you.
Well, and I felt like in my mind, I went, no. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Because she said it in such a way that I was like, oh, I guess the one that
real
definitely
kids believe
existed.
In Christ.
And I was like, yeah. And she was like, so there's no problem. And I was like, I guess you're right. So we like choreographed it and did a whole like, I like the way you make me laugh. And one of us would go, ha, ha, ha. We're all like kicking. I mean, it was so bad. And then we did it for our moms. And my mom's face was like, oh, no.
Wait, what was the choreography for Christ? Was it like a...
Like arms out. No, that would have been great. It was... No, I think we actually did... We crossed ourselves. But isn't that Catholic?
Yeah,
that is
technically
Christians
Catholic.
Do it too. So, yeah, or they'll do this thing where it's like the holes in the hand.
This is sign language for Jesus, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's why. Okay.
Holes in the hand.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. I like how graphic sign language is. I really do. I watched, there was some show, it was like an ABC family show about deaf kids. I really loved it. But it, like, I picked up so much sign language, which I then forgot.
Was that Switched at Birth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked that show.
Yeah, it was a good show.
I got really into the sign language. I had such a crush on that deaf boy.
It's not too late.
I'm like, well, he's so young. I followed him on Instagram and I was like, I have to unfollow.
He might not be as young as you think he is.
I think he is. Like he,
darn.
And if he's not, he's young. Like a lot of motorcycles and leather jackets. And I was like, I don't care about this.
Motorcycles and leather jackets.
He's like
Sounds
all
like
his
50-year-old.
Well, yes, you could be. Yeah, you're right. It could be middle-aged having a nervous breakdown, midlife crisis, or it's a kid who got his money too early.
Oh, yeah.
Was my sense. It was like he bought so much dumb boy stuff.
Sounds cool.
That is always one of my favorite parts of like music festivals is the ASL person on the left-hand side of the stage just crushing it.
It's really cool. And like, I don't know if I ever realized how much like facial expression and emotion has to go into sign language.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there's no, I like that there's no sense of like, like, we have such a sense of, like, you play it cool. Like, we can talk about anything, and I feel like your face is, like, dead when you're in junior high. Like, you're talking about, like, I'm, like, really sad because, like, Jared broke up with me, and you're, like, nothing changes. Yeah. And in sign language, it's, like, you can't communicate that way. Like, that you would not be speaking the language if you weren't, like, making the expression that goes with the word. Like, I thought it was so cool.
That is cool.
So where are you at now? How do you feel about things, about life?
Now I'm Christian.
Now you're Christian.
I knew it!
Yes, we got one. Confetti. Sparkler.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same. I mean, I guess this is my take on it, is I love the concept of religion in the same way I love, and again, I'm not saying this to be insulting to anybody.
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
You were going to say Harry Potter?
I was. Probably not the first one to make that analogy, but like.
I know you love Harry Potter, though.
I desperately want magic to be real, or the idea that there's something bigger than us to be real. Like, all of that's very appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
My wanting it to be real isn't reason enough for me to decide I'm going to believe it. And that's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
For me.
That's an interesting comparison, too. Gosh. I mean, how many books have already been written about, like, Harry Potter's like religion, blah, blah, blah. Slytherin is this denomination. Gryffindor is this denomination. But I feel like...
Really?
Probably. Oh, I'm sure. There's, like, a whole thirsty ass...
I feel like
line.
That,
what's that?
I mean, I'm sure there is. I feel like that's not where she was going with that. I feel like she's so political that it was much more of a political.
Oh no. Yeah, no, I agree. But something.
And Dobby is like the Christ figure at the center of the Harry Potter books, right? Because he's so servant hearted,
sacrifices himself at every turn.
Yeah,
no, Dobby's Job. No. This is like a popular kind of genre of Christian book where it's like the gospel according to whatever the pop culture thing is. So it's like the gospel according to Lost, and you watch Lost episodes and like Jack is actually kind of a Christ-like figure. So you can do it Lord of the Rings.
Lost really was kind of religious.
There were some philosophical things, but then you see it with like the gospel according to Seinfeld, the gospel according to The Simpsons. So it is just like...
Seinfeld?
Yeah. Yeah, there's books like that.
That it's all meaningless?
Right, exactly. Like
the
nihilism.
Seinfeld, yeah.
Actually, Seinfeld is the most Ecclesiastes-like show in all of existence.
Wow.
It's King Solomon wisdom to a T. So I'm sure there's a cottage industry of stuff like that for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Where are you at with Crimes of Grindelwald? In or out?
I can't watch it because I won't watch Johnny Depp in anything.
Right.
Yeah.
It kind of ruins it, right?
Well, he's an abuser.
Right.
So yeah, I can't go.
He is so, he's in so much of that film too. Like I thought he was just going to be a blip and like Nate really wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And then yeah, I was just like, oh, he's super central to it.
Well, yeah. And it just was insane to me that he was in essentially the last minute of the last one. It's like, just recast him.
Oh, and it's the literally the easiest role in the world to recast. Like, oh, he's Colin Farrell again.
Yeah.
All right.
It's upsetting.
I'm sure they would have gotten sued out the butt, though, for if they broke contract with him, right?
No, it was not with what? Late. I feel like with all the Me Too stuff, no way.
Maybe not.
They could have broken
contract. Do you still reread Harry Potter books?
I do.
You do?
I reread them. I tend to reread them every year. I have to like every actually year, stop why? Myself from reading them sometimes because I'm like, you can't get lost. Don't go down that tunnel. Like, I really will be it. I'll be out and like listening to someone talk and be like, I wish I were home reading my book. Just
thinking about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I wonder if you would like, there's that podcast Binge Mode about Harry Potter.
I tried your brain.
Not into it.
I thought the people were so charming because I want to say that right off. Like, I don't want to, this is not trashing the podcast.
Right, right, right.
They recapped every three chapters for like the first 30 minutes. And I was like, I have read it recently. I do not need a recap. Like, it was, and then it was just, it was almost to me like it was Cliff's Notes. Like it was like, if you're never going to read Harry Potter, but you need to know exactly what happened.
I know
and,
what you're saying.
Why you might like certain parts.
Yeah.
I was like, for someone who's read it, I was like, I can't. Mm-hmm. Like I got frustrated. I was like, just talk about your opinions. I don't want any more like recaps.
Well, thankfully, Harry Potter, especially in that last book, is definitely a Messiah figure. So if you love Harry Potter, you are kind of a Christian. So thanks for being on the show, Erin.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's great.
I see Christianity as a realm of sci-fi, and it's one of the ones I like the most.
A genre akin to Harry Potter.
Science is one of my favorite movies. So
science is good.
Because it's viewed as a fake trope. It's like aliens.
I remember when he's like, no, we're not praying. That was the big scene in that movie, the barn burner, like emotional scene.
In Signs?
Yeah. Because Mel Gibson lost his faith.
He lost his faith.
A whole tragic accident in the family.
That's right.
And boy, they really revisit that. That accident is like one of my favorite flashbacks, the way they do that. They keep, like throughout the movie, they'll keep flashing back to bits of it. So you're like, what happened? And then when they get to it, you're like, oh God. Like I sob every time I watch that movie.
I saw that movie 4 times when it came out.
I love it so much.
Fun fact, they filmed that accident on September 11th, 2001. No joke. It was the night of 9/11. Man.
Everyone showed up on set?
Is that strange? I mean, what are you going to do? I mean,
I was working on a show that day and like they canceled it. Like no one. That's crazy. Those
heartless
Science
crew.
Mel Gibson's
crew.
Not an American.
So stay on schedule.
All right.
Wow, that's great.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with the new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have
even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
feel
like
as incredible as to, you could feel
to exercise more mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day
exactly
working 9 hours a day on top of that and then
good
going out 2 hours yes such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree.
The
first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Let's dive in to the topic.
Come on, let's go.
Miracles from Heaven, 2016 movie starring Jennifer Garner.
Speaking of sobbing, did you cry at all in this movie?
A lot. I cried almost
I cried
all the
a
way
lot
through.
Too.
So okay, listen, cool. This is it's not a pure flick. It's not a direct to video thing. It was a theatrical movie
mm-hmm.
made for 13 mil, made like 73 mil. So it was like a movie.
I did not remember it coming out. Like it rang no bells for me in terms of previews.
It probably didn't around here. Like all these movies make their money
in the Midwest.
Over there.
Yeah.
So it's probably one of those. Let's just watch the trailer real quick for a quick refresh on this movie, Miracles from Heaven. Annabelle thought she had it all.
A stomach.
Oh, come on.
What?
It was the best
interest.
Okay, listen to your teacher.
Ain't nothing terrible gonna happen to that.
It's a good life. It's a good life.
What's that guy?
It's a good life. Mommy. Kevin.
It's their cute little thing they do.
Mommy, I'm coming. Mommy, it hurts.
Oh, no, baby. When Anna got sick, I just couldn't understand it. Why was this loving little girl going through this?
I think your daughter is lactose intolerant.
Acid reflux.
Everything looks okay.
Everything's fine.
Everything is not fine. There's something wrong with our little girl.
Mrs. B, you need to calm down.
I'm not leaving this hospital until I know what's wrong with my daughter.
Twang it, sis.
Unfortunately, the tests confirm that she's very ill. There is currently no cure for Anna's condition.
Doctor, please, this is our little girl.
I'm scared, Mom.
Me too. We're not giving up.
Like a small boat.
The song was not in the movie.
No. Should have been.
Yeah. And we'll get it.
How?
Wait, is this fight song?
I don't even know. I love this song. I don't even know what it is.
It's Taylor Swift.
Might only
Oh, I love Taylor Swift.
Can you even hear me? Explosion.
This is my fight. It is fight song.
Okay. It is Taylor
just
Swift?
Chilling. No.
Who is covering it? Oh
my God. I don't know. It's not the original.
I want it to be a slow, sexy Beyonce cover.
I'm just thinking of the DNC.
Yes.
Well, that's impossible.
Spoilers.
This is a little hard to believe. And there's a lot of people out there that are just looking for publicity.
A lot of people think we're crazy.
You either roll with it or you get rolled on.
Told me I'd be fine.
I've still got a lot
of fun. Who told you you'd be fine?
Kermit.
That'd be me. If I went into a coma, I would not see Jesus. I would see Kermit.
You had a near-death experience.
You gotta go back. You gotta sing my songs.
I'm not done with you yet.
Whoa, he's running the show? Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. He runs the Muppet Show.
Pulling the strings.
Miracles from Heaven. The miracle in this movie doesn't happen until like an hour 20 and
yeah, and this is based on a true story. We should mention this is a real family.
Christy and Annabelle. Family.
Yeah, they have a whole montage at the end.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. At first, I thought they had magically turned into dogs at the end because the first shot is like a bunch of dogs lounging around in their big Texas home.
That would be the best miracle.
Well, it's not the case, but yeah, based on a true story. Very Heaven is for Real-esque, the Burpo thing.
Yeah, and I had heard about this story, I think, before the movie came out. Like, I remember hearing rumblings. You know, people like to talk about healing stories.
You heard rumblings of
yeah,
this movie?
Rumblings in the Miracle-verse about this.
It's a real story. They were doing the whole promo circuit. Because I have to imagine, in a big crux of this, as it was in real life, was like, we're not super wealthy. How do we pay for all these crazy medical bills? Well, maybe write a best-selling book and it makes the New York Times best. You know, so that's probably a part of it.
They wrote the book. I didn't do a ton of background on them, so I missed that part.
There is one. I'm just going to play this teeny tiny quote because there's a scene in the movie where the girl who has this like horrible disease where she can't digest food properly. She does. I won't play that clip, but she does say, "Mom, I want to die. I want to die. I
oh
want
God.
This to be
Why
over."
Why do you find this funny?
It's not funny.
You're smiling.
No. I don't think it's funny at all.
Okay.
I thought it was really intense, and I was watching an interview with the real mother and daughter, and it was actually more intense than that because that moment was from real life, but she also said the following.
Annabelle, had you given up? I mean, was the pain just too much?
Yes, and see, it's not like, oh, I just want to give up. I'd actually put a lot of thought into this because my mom said after I said that, she said, oh, but Annabelle, whenever you'd be gone, we'd miss you so much. And I said, don't worry, Mommy, you'd kill yourself and come with me and Daddy would look after the girls.
She had a plan.
Ooh.
She had a plan. Ooh. Isn't that sweet? She said I'd kill myself. Isn't that sweet?
Isn't that nuts?
Also, I don't think she understands the Bible's take on suicide.
It's
well,
painless.
Mama's not coming with you.
Summer up, summer down.
Mama's going to walk you there.
Depending on the denomination.
Truth be told, Aaron, I don't understand the Bible's take on suicide.
Wow. Really?
Other than Judas did it. But I don't see a value judgment on the act. Man.
So everyone's okay with suicide in the religion.
That's a tough statement to make. I don't know.
If I killed myself tonight, would
I'd be
you think
so sad.
I know. But would you think to yourself, oh, she's in heaven?
I think he'd kill himself too.
Would
so
you
that
come with
you two
me?
Could go together.
I would go with you so I could continue to try to prove my worth
dates
to you.
Forever.
You could meet Kermit together.
Oh my God. No, it's okay. It's just friends unless you want it to. Never mind.
Gosh, that scene though in the movie broke me down because you see this girl like, I'll say one thing about like the tone of the movie, especially the medical stuff was mm-hmm. like at some points it is very lifetimey and there's a cute doctor and it's kind of fun and there's like adorable
Bobo Patch
other,
Adams.
Yeah, like other adorable like hospital kit, you know, like a very commercial feeling hospital. But they do get into some of the just like horrifying things that happens when your kid is that sick and like pulling the tube out of her nose and showing surgeries and stuff like that. That to me gave this
a lot more credence than a Lifetime movie.
They really seem to be pulling that tube out of our nose. I was like, what are these poor actors? I think they might.
Yeah. And
it seemed practical.
And it didn't feel like it was manipulative. It was just like, okay, they are really trying to show like the lengths that this family had to go through. And so when you see that little girl like rolling back and forth in pain, saying she wants to die, it was like, I believe
this that's what's wild about this movie because a lot of the movies we talk about are kind of like low hanging fruit on this show. Where it's like it's pure flicks, it's shitty, it's kind of conservative, whatever. But this is like this is mixing a lot of like truly realized trauma, and because the little girl's a good actor, Garner's a good actor, so when they're doing stuff, you're like 100% in it. When she's just like weeping over her daughter who she can't help, I mean, I feel like. Not that I've gone through anything like this personally, but my sister was not had a similar disease, but had like a lot of autoimmune disease stuff that they could not figure out, went to hundreds of doctors. So the whole frustrating, like the dick doctor that's like, well, I'm the doctor. So, you know, and all that stuff. Like I really connected to the idea of like a mom just went out their kid.
No,
they don't know what's wrong.
What's going on. Yes, listen
and,
to me.
And the frustration of that I actually felt was really well captured and like just how sad that is and how hopeless you feel with all that stuff. So that's what's weird about this movie is like there's the cheese stuff, but then there are these moments where it's like, I feel this too much. And it really was a bummer to watch. And it was really hard to watch that stuff.
Did you feel that doctor was good, though? Like a good actor?
The one that was like, I'm the doctor.
I'm the doctor. Well, I felt like he was over the top. Like that actually annoyed me because I was like, I like that they gave him the whole bit about being like, hi, mom. Hi, dad. Like, I hate when doctors are like, hi, mom. Like, how are we? I'm like, we're not close. I don't know how you are.
I think
I'm sick.
I have a clip of him.
Her throat's raw because she's been throwing up for weeks.
Well, mom, I'm the doctor and that's my diagnosis. So if you'll excuse me, I have the patients I need to see.
I feel like he could have said the line is so condescending that if he truly sold it, but he felt like he tried to play that character. I was like,
he tried to smarm it up too much. Maybe this is an acting
thing. Yeah, it was too. It was so over the top. I was like, all right, he's a villain. We get it. Like they did that with some church people too. Like they made them so bad. I was
the ladies. So that when there's a scene where these ladies come up to her. I don't know if you do you want to play it or not. I can just explain it.
Well, we'll just give an overview of the movie too, quick. It's just like. The girl, there's this family in Texas. The girl gets this crazy disease with her stomach.
It feels like we should have done this at the beginning.
Maybe. Well, you know.
She has motility issues.
A motility disorder. Yeah.
Yeah, so where she can't like digest anything.
All the doctors misdiagnose it except for one. Then they go to Boston without an appointment, see a guy. He can't help. And then an hour 20 into the movie, she falls through a tree. When she comes Still sick when she falls into a tree. When she comes out, she's healed of all the symptoms. And to this day, she's not on any of the medication or anything like that. They claim that she still has no traces of the disease, blah, blah, blah. So that's the movie. Yeah. And it's inflected with all this faith stuff because Jennifer Garner loses her faith at one point, stops going to church, and then comes back to church. And so there's all this stuff. And then in one scene, there's a sermon where the pastor, as played by John Carroll Lynch, who is a great actor, but someone I mostly associate with very creepy characters, a la Zodiac or American Horror Story, playing like goofy pastor guy,
props.
Who I will say did have a hilarious prop sermon.
When the road gets bumpy, when the storms rain down, I could do a few things to protect myself. You know, I can get a nice helmet.
He puts on a helmet. I'm not sweetening this audio. This is how they laughed in the movie.
And we might be able to find ourselves an umbrella.
He opens the umbrella.
Just happen to be there.
It's upside down. And sometimes God feels like a hammer on a watermelon. He goes full Gallagher. But yeah, so he wants to get her back. But there, he's preaching a sermon like, if there's something wrong in your life, see if you're sinning. If you feel bad, like, see if what's wrong in your life is actually what's wrong with you.
Yeah, like, check yourself if you're perpetuating the problem or whatever.
And so while the girl is sick.
Yeah, so these two women come up to Jennifer Garner, and they're, like heavily hairsprayed and just already, like, zany looking.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like,
and
things
then
that did not work style-wise in this movie.
Jennifer's
I have some notes.
Hair at the beginning was a crime. It was
she was
like
a different character in church than in the rest of the movie.
Anyway,
like, they really didn't know where to
land. So these women say, basically, like, Jennifer, we're so sorry. How's your daughter doing? And she's like, she's, you know, she's not good. And then they're like, well, you know, sometimes when things like this happen, it's because there's something wrong in your household.
Well, since she's not been healed, it may be a good time for you and Kevin to ask yourself some difficult questions.
I don't understand.
Honey, Anna is not better, and she should be. Now, somebody's sins are preventing the healing, either yours or Kevin's or maybe even Anna's.
That's a common thing in some churches. Yeah. It's like, what did you do wrong? What have you not repented of?
But that's right. Though it's like, it's also preached just as often as like, unfair things happen to Christian, like because you're Christian doesn't mean you always get healed or everything's going to be fine or whatever. But yeah, every once in a while there is this like blip too where that doesn't translate and people think like, oh, you have a tragedy because you're someone's like boning someone they shouldn't in your family or something like that, which is terrifying.
That's what I don't understand is like, so everyone in this church, no one's ever died or gotten sick. Like, or if they've gotten sick, they've been healed. Like, this is abnormal for this church. Yeah. Like, everyone else who's ever had anything else go wrong, they prayed, they figured it out, they were fine.
You know, it's kind of a prosperity gospel thing, too.
Right. And they kind of, like, deal with this, like, central problem that a lot of people have with church or when they're at church. And that I think a lot of people probably had difficulty watching with this movie is because, like, we are often hearing, like, he's a God of miracles. He wants to heal you. He's the great physician. He made your bodies. Like, if we all pray, like, he will hear us and he will heal kids. But then there's just plenty of people who don't get that healing. And the first three quarters of this movie is that story of, like, how do we come to deal with theologically, like, yeah, you're praying, it's not working, so we need to do something else, basically. But then the last quarter, I feel like it's so difficult for the people who don't get to have hope anymore to hear
this story. Ben Wexler.
Yeah, or just like, you don't get the miracle. Like, you just lose it. And so,
why'd she have to fall down a tree to get the miracle? What was he doing before that?
And so they set up the movie as like, the whole thing was to get Jennifer Garner to like really believe
and come back to church.
Yeah, but of course she came back after that. Yeah. To me, I was like, yeah, I'd come to church after that. Like, are you fucking kidding
me? And even when she's talking, she has this heart to heart with her pastor where she's saying, like, I'm not gonna come, I don't feel comfortable here right now. Like, those women said those things to me. I don't like these people.
He's like, that's not why.
He's like, that's not why. And he's like, what can I do to get you back? And part of me was like, why is he so concerned about getting her back right now? Like, why can't he just let her, like,
it was a binary of like attendance or not attendance is like, you're good or you're bad. Like, you have faith or you have no faith.
And it was like a really frustrating argument that I felt between like her husband and her, of where he's prepped up to be this like, just go lucky, like everything's gonna work out, just gotta have faith. And he's like, right, you know, in the premise of this movie. But it was like really infuriating for me, I think especially as like a woman watching the woman doing all the emotional labor of this family, figuring out everything, going to all the doctors.
He did emotional labor. He sold his motorcycle. That was not easy.
Oh my God.
Funniest.
And like fighting to get to this doctor.
And I was like, you didn't sell it already.
I know. It was like it took
that wasn't the first thing you sold. And now we have to have a sad look from you. And it sets up
like Jen Garner as being this like type A crazy lady, like trying to control the situation instead of just like letting God come in and fix it. I'm like, no, she's doing the right things. Like, she is doing what she's supposed to do. And like, this movie is punishing her sometimes.
So this movie is so funny because the tree almost reads as like a super lazy, weird deus ex machina and like a bad screenplay of like,
right.
Oh, then she falls down a tree and she gets better.
I know. And it's a true story.
And it's a true story. And this is granting the premise that there is no element of hoax, that this is not a balloon boy sitch. That it's not a tree girl balloon boy sitch.
Let's assume it's not.
Let's assume it's not?
Yeah.
Let's not be skeptical about it?
Let's not, because it's so much more evil to like tell this family.
Believe
this
in a world.
True, yeah. Than just to like.
I understand.
Go into that.
But isn't it evil to also perpetuate a hoax?
No, I don't think so. Not in this case.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. This is a little girl that got better, you know?
If she did. Well, I guess she did.
She had like multiple hospital visits and stuff.
Show me the receipts.
Well, yeah. I don't even know. Anyway. It's not that I thought it was a hoax. I just think there was a scientific explanation.
Yeah. And part of me was like, well, she hit her nervous system, which is running her stomach and stuff like that. Right. Like, it's still a crazy accident.
Oh,
and,
it's
like,
crazy.
And
the doctor couldn't explain it. But I don't, it's like, just because he couldn't doesn't mean it's automatically.
It's gone. Yeah. Right. But I think even if it was scientifically explainable, it is still just like, wow, what a cool
miracle.
Do you feel like you've ever witnessed something akin to a miracle in your own life?
No.
Neither have I.
I don't think so.
I don't believe in miracles.
Except for a baby smile.
Oh, God.
And a sunrise.
No, that's not true.
You don't believe in miracles?
Not in this sense where it's like, well, because it is funny, too, how she defines miracle at the first line of the movie is like,
Webster's
Dictionary.
A miracle is defined as something not explicable by natural or scientific laws.
All right. So, and then at the end, she's like, actually, everything's a miracle, because Albert Einstein said you can live like everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle. And
I kind of liked that. That was her conclusion.
It's it's interesting, and that's like a lot more palatable of a, like kindness is a miracle, and that's kind of applied to.
It would have been nice if she came to that conclusion before her kid fell down a tree and God apparently then decided to say, like, I'd be more impressed if she was like
giving that as a eulogy.
If she came back to the church, it doesn't have to be a eulogy. The kid could just still be sick. If if she was like, oh, you know what? We have been experiencing miracles. I'd still be like, geez, you don't need to have a positive thought for everything. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. It was just sort of like, it's too little too late. God's not going to be happy.
And you are concerned about that.
Uh-huh. I only want God to be happy.
For God.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll speak God's for God stand. In this conversation. I think I know what he'd want.
So many of us already have.
Yeah. They did fall into the Pureflix trap of like the real atheist, like, no way this is true. Don't talk about faith. And then he shows up at church at the end and is like, I believe it's
kind
true.
Of. But that was the most reasonable exchange in the movie where he's like, oh, hey, my daughter said she wants to die.
That's
now.
That's true, yeah.
Can you just, I'm not mad, but don't.
He wasn't
it's
like
not
an evil
thing.
Character
yeah,
in
he
it.
He wasn't evil.
Yeah.
So that was a nice
but
thing.
But he was like a thing for being, just being like, oh, see, atheists became Christians because of this.
If we're comparing screenplay notes to true life notes, this man does not exist.
Yeah.
It's not a true person. Right. Not a real person.
Pure flips.
Just a fun stand-in for the movie. Third Day cameo. Did you like that? That they were the worship band?
That.
Third Day is a Christian rock band that managed to get a cameo in this movie. Here's what's weird about this movie, too, is that it feels like a hybrid car of a Christian movie. Because it's not all the way like, Christ died for your sins so that you could live.
Right.
It's like, faith is good. Like, it's like really broad strokes of ideas of religion and God without actually being Jesus.
Like it's I feel like it's a good, it hits that like nice swath of people that exist that are like not really into a certain religion but like really believe in angels and like really love the idea of like a guardian angel or like miracles or things like that and believe there's like a spirituality. Like I feel like this movie is comfortable for that spectrum and into Christianity too.
It definitely speaks to the demo of old people that has a lot of precious moments figurines on the shelf
sure,
and say things like, you know, angels are everywhere if you know where to look for
them. I couldn't figure out what it was saying. Like I was so confused at the very beginning when Jennifer Garner was Southern and she only was for 7 or 8 lines.
She was at the barbecue. She had like really big hair.
Really big hair, kind of slutty. And like, I was like, slutty. She's going to try to play this role. This is going to be interesting. And then immediately I was like, oh, she's only did it for the first 3 lines. And then she was like, can we drop it? I want stylish jeans. I want an oversized
ponytail and
a nice sweatshirt. Yeah.
No makeup.
Yeah. My hair is completely flat but shiny in the rest of the movie. I only do the crazy Southern hairspray in church. I was like, this is two characters. Like, I felt like she thought she should. She was trying to do like an Erin Brockovich thing, but she couldn't commit. I was so annoyed. I was like, pick one. How did the director go, I guess this is okay?
Yeah, she kind of like straddled between, being like an intense Southern woman and just like an intense woman who, you know, like needs to get
like
something done.
They were like two different people in my
mind.
Yeah,
I think that's a good point.
I was shocked.
How do we feel about Jennifer Garner in general? I think my thoughts
outside
are
of this?
Previously stated. Yeah, as a figure in our pop culture.
She seems fine.
What's
She's
happened
cool.
to
I thought
her?
She was well cast for this. I felt like she was a really good like fighter mom smart person.
I think just get an accent coach.
You know? Right. Let's pick one.
You know, if you're a millionaire, even if the production's not going to pay for it, your face is on screen.
Her Instagram is an avant-garde museum.
I saw it.
I think she's getting paid to do cooking videos on there now.
She should be.
Anyway,
I'll pay her.
She's doing great.
Does Jennifer Garner have a Patreon? I'll sign up.
Oh boy.
Wouldn't that be amazing if Jennifer Garner started a Patreon?
Do you like want to date Jennifer Garner up? Or do you want to be Jennifer Garner?
Well, that's kind of our age-old question, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. I thought that church was really accurate. Did you feel like that? Like, I've been to a church
like that.
Where the band was really cool, but the pastor is like a dorky suit wearing
I got
jokester.
A helmet. I got an umbrella.
Yeah. The congregation was, really cool. was a weird mix of like, I don't know, people
they were
from
really
dynasties.
Cool.
Yeah. And they had like cool
rock.
Hair.
Jennifer Garner should be most pitied, and that band is the coolest band.
Oh, dear.
I mean, just like cool in contrast to like the blue haired ladies that they seem to fill the congregation with, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like they're all their like grandsons. Like they're not cool. They're just like, well, I'm of this time, so I know what hair looks like.
They're the coolest guys in Lubbock, for sure, in Lubbock, Texas. There was a moment. There's a few soundtrack choices I found to be really interesting.
The soundtrack was so weird.
One of which I was like, is this an episode of the television show Scrubs?
I can see it.
Baby, I'm scared too. Okay. Can't just take her to Boston without an appointment.
Yes, I can.
This feels like JD doing the monologue. I guess in the end, me and Turk need to have a better friendship.
Such an old song.
I love it. Collide. Collide was used in this movie in 2016.
Well, she's about to collide with some roots.
It was very distracting. Very distracting.
Oh, very
do you think
sad.
The family will listen to this episode?
Oh, I hope not. I don't believe so. I don't
Christy
think that's
Bream
our
just accepted
audience.
My follow on Instagram.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's so private.
Maybe they will. Great. I hope everyone that we've ever talked about on the show.
The girls are doing great.
Listens to.
I'm really glad. It's not like I don't want them to do well. I'm very happy they're doing well.
You were like...
you were rooting for their demise during the movie. Isn't that true?
Like you were rooting for the tree.
I was like, only one of them sick?
Hell yeah. On. This is a sequel to The Giving Tree we deserve.
The tree finally wins.
Yeah, that's right. Queen Latifah is in this movie.
Yeah, wow. For no reason. I mean, I get that she was one of the miracles, but...
She is a miracle.
She was just a person of color who, of course, she was put in the movie to serve a white family. Well, what else does she have to do? My God.
This woman existed in real life, and in real life, she was white.
Yeah, she
I don't
was
know what
a
that
waitress
means.
Yeah, that they had met there.
And she gives them like real fun, kind of vague wisdom, like...
You either roll with it or you get rolled on. You get rolled on, you get flat.
You get flat, you're a pancake. You got little divots, you're a waffle.
Either way, you're delicious.
Yeah, I really thought she was going to play a bigger part. When she showed up, I was like, oh, this will be the miracle. Like, she'll have something.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be the one to get them into the doctor.
Right.
Or something like that. That doctor, is he like a comedian in real life or something? Like, why do I know his face?
Oh, I could have looked this because up. You were like laughing so hard. Because
I
jokes.
Was rolling. I had like four children. I'm like, the pirate?
That Elmo bit was hilarious, though. The idea of losing a belt to Elmo is very funny.
I do feel it, though. I was like, did that six-year-old get that joke?
Kids I know
what
yeah.
losing a bet means.
If you ever told a joke to a kid, they just stare at you and are like,
It has to have a poop or a pee punchline.
Yeah.
Or you're done.
That guy was in the remake of Overboard that came out this year with Anna Faris.
Refused to see.
Oh, yeah. That's where I knew his face. Okay.
I liked him.
All those previews.
He was good in the movie. But yeah, I kind of agree with Aaron that it's like, what is the movie saying? Because it did have its cake and eat it too with like, miracles are real, and real like crazy miracles happen. But also everything's a miracle. And just because it doesn't work out for you. And it does kind of pay some lip service to it in the end. Garner's speech where she's like, I don't know what to say about the other... Actually, I have a clip, so we can talk about it. But she was talking about...
Miracles are God. And God is forgiveness. Why was Anna healed? When today, around the world, there are so many children suffering. I don't know the answer. But after everything I've been through, I've realized I'm not alone. And whatever you may be going through, I am here to tell you, you are not alone.
Don't worry about it.
Miracles are God's way of letting us know He's here.
So yeah, that is a, that's like a, what is that?
Miracles? It's like a Ben Franklin like misattributed quote of beer is God's way of letting you know he exists and that he cares about you.
Miracles like are next to godliness.
Yeah.
Because miracles are forgiveness. Miracles are God's God. Way of knowing. Miracles are God. Miracles are everything. Miracles are crazy tree stuff. It's like a big umbrella.
Whenever his speech was like, I don't know. You know, it was always like, I don't have the answers. I don't know why God chose her. I don't know. You know, like, I always think that's a little bit like, you have such a strong belief in what Christianity is and what God is and like what all that means. And then you go, well, then why is this kid healed? And then there's thousands that aren't. I don't have the answer to that. And it's like, really? You had a lot of answers just a second ago, and it's all made up.
Is that
make
wild?
One up.
There's like certain frameworks.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be like comforting in some way or like allowed. Like, oh,
yeah,
it's
I feel
cool
like they're trying to be
an explanation
like,
for the miracle and all this, but like it's allowed that you don't have an explanation for
yeah,
suffering.
Yeah, like they think they're showing like humility. Like, I don't know why. It's like, yeah,
it's like literally
do.
I haven't thought about like, it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain frameworks that absolutely fall apart if you think beyond your like immediate circle or community of like, oh, why did God allow this and blah, 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 blah. Oh, look at like whatever. Like it just always falls apart yeah. upon just like a little bit of zooming out. So that's why it's always been hard for me to attribute anything to like, I think God was trying to do this or I think God did that. Or I think it feels so much more akin to chaos. Because the idea of like exceptionalism and the idea of like, well, we kind of got the hedge of protection or we got the badge, so whatever can't hurt us. Always just feels like, I don't think that's true because it doesn't take into account the world and being alive.
To me, it feels very much like I have New Agey friends who say similar things where it's like, oh, this happened to this person because. And it's like, I think the Christian version of that is like, oh, they, you know, they were sinning or they weren't. They didn't have faith or, you know, whatever those are. And
they
I
didn't
think,
follow God's will.
Right. Yeah. And then the New Agey version is like, oh, that happened to that person because they put negative energy out there. Like they weren't feeling gratitude. And I sort of see it as all the same where it's like, I think people just are so terrified of something bad happening that if they can have a reason, it's like they don't even want to do victim blaming, even though that kind of is what it is. But it's like, I think it's like if there's some external thing that I could control, then I can make sure it doesn't happen to me.
Yeah. Well, and it'll like prove my whole thing true too.
Right.
Of like, see if I did listen, if I did internalize all the lessons or whatever, then like it's obvious why I'm doing a little bit better than these people. It's probably because of my faith.
Right.
Rather. And it's this weird thing, but they'll say, but if something bad happened to a kid, it's not because they didn't have enough faith.
Right.
It's like, well, you have both, you know, like,
and the whole God has a plan thing. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Alice Wetterland has a great joke in her stand-up set where she says, you know, a lot of people, especially in the Midwest, say God works in mysterious ways. And I say, that's bad. If I worked in mysterious ways at my job, I'd be fired. If you work in mysterious ways on, yeah, at the job, you're gone. No.
Yeah.
And it always feels like this. So that's why miracle, yeah. And the happiness for real kid is similar where it's like, why? And I wonder if this stuff resonates with certain audiences in the way that like rags to riches stories mm-hmm. resonate with like American audiences. Cause it's like, well, I know most of the world is bad off, but I think I'm going to be the one that'll like eventually through capitalism or whatever, like accrue my wealth and become mm-hmm. a success and be whatever. Like, I know there's like suffering and pain and that nice reporter man from the Washington Post kid died, but I think maybe the miracle will happen for us. And it's, yeah,
it's true. It is just something you're buying into.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there's no label for the one you just said. I mean, other than capitalism, but it's like, I think we could easily watch that movie and not even notice that you're like, ooh, I love believing that this could be true for me. You know,
and I think they tried to pay lip service to it, but it's just like,
right. They try,
it doesn't
I feel
go
like,
all
yeah,
the way.
They try to like dodge the criticism that they're saying like, oh, if you just believe anybody will get this miracle
mm-hmm.
by saying like anything could be like kindness is a miracle or whatever. But you can have, I don't know. I guess that's what I'm just repeating what you all are saying. You can have both things to say like it is a miracle and God does choose people because they're special and because he wants to make sure Jennifer Garner stays Christian. But he doesn't care enough about everyone else to like make that happen too.
Let me ask you a personal question, Caroline. Do you believe that prayer affects things at all? And you can say, I don't know either. You don't have to have a yes or no.
I don't think it actually, I don't know, if I'm putting words to like what I generally feel right now, I don't think it actually causes change in the world. I think it's more it like can cause change in yourself. Similar to like journaling or therapy or thinking things through or verbalizing stuff like that. I think that's more of what prayer is.
I feel the same way. That's like it. I've never thought, I think this is gonna, and I actually remember, gosh, I have this flashback of praying for someone who had cancer, someone I knew in college, praying for them, like, God heal them, God heal. You know, I was like, whatever, 17 or 18 at the time. They still died. And I remember like, oh, yeah, I guess it's not that. And it's always been tough to even think for a second, oh, I think this is going to change something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of like, well, God allowed the suffering and God allowed the evil. Like, there's a lot of Byzantine ways where it's like, it's still good and God has purpose and plan and you may not know it yet in mysterious ways. I don't know why we're so afraid to say, yeah, it's just kind of chaos and pray if it makes you feel better. But
yeah,
stuff's just going to happen and you didn't choose to be born where you are or have the illness or not have the illness that you have.
Yeah. But that's exactly what people don't want to hear. Like, I think that's where white privilege becomes such a huge thing is like, I think they want to believe that they were born in the highest status in terms of like, you know, power in this country for a reason, that they're special, that if they've gotten things because they're white, then they're white because they deserved it. Like, I think that refusal to be like, everyone, some people like luck out with an easy life and some people don't, I think it's too terrifying. And I think their egos are too big, you know? Wait, what did you say? Why was I talking about this?
Just talking about chaos versus design.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. I always wonder, like, what would be so terrible about saying, like, there's things that are out of God's control?
Because it makes him sound irresponsible, I think. Because it makes it sound like, I don't know, I just kind of put it all in motion.
No, not that, like, he could have control and he doesn't. Oh. He just doesn't have control over some of these
things. I feel
like
that's that scary, like, daddy's
well, then, like,
not
no
charged,
one is
like,
control. Like, yeah.
But that to me is, like, from what I've when I've spoken to other people, I feel like, about religion, it's like, that comfort is a big part of it.
Yeah,
like if he,
that, like there is someone in like making sense of all this.
Like,
chaos
don't worry,
here.
Even though it looks awful, it's almost like when I actually thought this one when I was watching the movie when she was really up close to that Monet, I was like, she hasn't seen the bigger picture yet. Like that's what they're trying
oh,
to say.
Wow, that's but a really intelligent thought.
Oh my God, thank you. I stole it from Clueless, but I think that imagery was intentional, but I do feel like there's that thing of like bad things happen. It's like, why did they happen? We don't know yet, but they're part of a bigger picture that we just can't see. And it's so interesting to think that like people would have pain and tragedy and suffering for thousands of years. And then at the end we'd be like, oh, good one. Good ending. I didn't get how it all was going to work right out.
I didn't
out,
need
but,
that leg.
Oh boy. I
got
get it
me.
Now. Child cancer. It makes sense the way now that you say the ending. Oh, it's funny. It's
yeah,
funny. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's just unfair.
It's very hard to think, yeah, like the worst stuff is like, but it'll be redeemed and it'll be like, you'll see, yeah, the design in it. Personal tragedy. Oh, gosh, I won't get into it because it's so depressing. But it's like, yeah, maybe it won't. And is that okay? Can we live with that? And can we live with the tension of like, no, it's not, that won't work out. That meant nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And not even
and
in
still
a,
finding like, but
meaning.
This is good. And
yeah.
This is joyful or this is something to be grateful for. Not because like, oh, because God is making some kind of plan out of it, but more of just like, and yet there is something good within this, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's a way to say that may have meant nothing or felt purposeless or directionless or I don't understand that in the slightest, but it doesn't mean that nothing does. It doesn't mean that like no thing on earth means anything at all. Because sometimes nihilism feels like an all or nothing proposition too, where it's like, well, if that doesn't mean anything, nothing means anything. It's all shit, and who cares if I kill a person or not? I feel like people, and especially people who buy into these, like, this means this, and this means this, and this is connected to this, feel that way a lot more. So I just wonder if we can have both. Maybe that's my version of having your cake and eating it, too.
Mm-hmm. So, like, paint a picture for me of what you do believe, then, that, like, what is God's role if he's not controlling and everything and doesn't have a plan and isn't what's his job? If you were going to hire God, what was his job description?
What's his specialty?
Yeah, like if he was in up for review, like what would he need to tell you he'd been doing all this time?
Well, and this is such like a kind of a cop-out answer, but I feel like over the last few years, my affection and even like the amount of time I spend thinking about like the capital G God or whatever that is, where it's like the one controlling things is not so helpful. It's not so helpful for me in my personal day-to-day life to be like, I wonder what God thinks about this. But in a similar way, hey, maybe it's all coming true. But in a similar way where it's like Harry Potter is not good for me, or it's not beneficial to your life because Hogwarts was actually there in 1958 or blah, 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 blah. If the narrative and stories of Christ are helpful to me on a day-to-day level, then I think that's worth it. That's why the theological stuff, I don't feel, and especially even doing this show and going episode to episode, I'm not like, I have a firmer and firmer and firmer and firmer idea of what I think God is and what he's doing. And it's like this definition and not quite this. I feel like that's breaking down more, like the definition and the certainty of like, there's a corner here and there's a curve here. And this is what his character's like.
So your answer would maybe be like, you just don't know right now, or it's just none of the things that you knew before.
Yeah. I mean, and two, I won't even rule out like there is a plan, but I can think that plan sucks too, if that is the case.
Hitler had a plan, my mom always says.
Welcome to good Christian fun. Wow.
Not always says. She said that once when we were talking about someone who had just said God has a plan. She was like, and Hitler has a plan.
Yeah, yeah, because like, yeah, it does feel like
having a plan doesn't say anything.
A strange
trump
card.
We don't know what it is. Yeah, yeah. Lots of people have terrible plans.
Plan. Art is good. Hitler was an artist.
All right, yeah. Well, wanted to be. So you don't have like a definite like God created everything, but that's all he does. Or like science is responsible for how we got here, but then there's this entity that is God. Like you don't have a, like in a huge big picture, you don't have any idea.
I don't think so. Cause I think at a certain point it becomes synonyms for a lot of stuff.
Oh, so, you're my uncle's theory of God is could which be is anything.
It could be the air. But the things like science where it's like so much of Christian faith in the church was like, the earth is flat. We know this to be true. Look at scripture. And then it's like, no, it's definitely round. Oh, we know that that's true. Like how science got incorporated into faith over a certain amount of time. I feel like it's not impossible. People always pit those things against each other when it's really, if the faith is devalued or contradicted by science, then what even is it? So I don't feel a need or necessity to do that personally in my own life, to be like, God does this and science does that. Because then you can be contradicted later. 30 years from now, it's like, isn't it crazy that we thought God did this, but it's actually scientifically we found out blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So I feel less of a need for that.
Right.
Well, let's rate this movie. What do you say?
Let's do it.
The way this works, Aaron, we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Do they go to hell if I go down?
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. It's a holy toast. They go to heaven where there'd be toasting.
In our voting system, hell is real.
Yeah. The only real heaven and hell we subscribe to on this podcast is in our voting system. Holy toast, thumbs up. They go to heaven where the angels are toasting them forever. Heaven bound. Or holy roast, they go to hell. They burn forever. Or if we don't give it one or the other, we can always send them to purgatory, a la the space
between. Ooh, well, purgatory sounds the most fun.
Dave Matthews sounds the most fun.
Yeah.
We'll start with Caroline.
Oh, man. I did not think ahead of what I wanted to vote. So I'm going to work this out. But I think I'm going to put it in the space between because I didn't hate it, and like there was a lot that really touched me and made me sob a lot, and Jennifer Garner was pretty great, and the story is an amazing story and like a happy story at the end of the day and a hopeful one. You just can't give it so much credence that it's like defines the way your faith works, I think, at least for me. And this is what we've been talking about. But I think I can't give it quite a toast just because, like, it's still kind of Lifetime-y at the end of the day. Maybe it's just because it's not my, like, culture or whatever, but I get kind of bored of seeing, like, blonde, white families, perfect church, barbecue, and then, like, some sort of crisis. And, like, will they pull through? And they will. And
you mean real America?
I was actually wondering of, like, does real America, like, feel themselves reflected when they see this kind of movie or not?
Because probably. Like, yeah,
part
probably.
Of me feels like not even the accent. Even the facade was like, everything not else. Real. Like, that whole barbecue scene, I was like, it doesn't look like this. I don't know. Anyway, but so I'll give it a space between.
It's space like, between. We turn to Aaron.
I'll give it a thumbs up.
A holy toast.
Yeah.
Okay.
To me, it checked the boxes for what I thought it would be,
mm-hmm.
which was that I'm able to view religious movies, as we talked about earlier, as like it's sci-fi. Like for me, I was like, the Christianity is the fictional element we're mm-hmm. dealing with here. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I was like, I cried throughout it. I was invested. It was cheesy, but sometimes that's the movie you're going to watch. And I like didn't watch it thinking it would be something else. So
yeah,
thumbs up.
Thumbs up from Aaron.
That's so interesting. I like Christianity is so ingrained that I can't imagine viewing it like outside and like viewing it as sci-fi. And I feel like that'd be an interesting way to watch that movie.
Yeah, I feel like it's in my mind. I was like, it's probably like a movie about like if there was a movie about just I don't know how hard it is for women sometimes. I could see a guy being like, oh yeah, man. I mean, I thought it was like really interesting to like see what you guys go through when you're like. You thought it was really interesting. It was like really upsetting to watch.
It was a mirror.
How fun for you. And it was so
I'm glad you got to like take a little tourism trip through my life. Yeah, Kevin, so what's your take?
I did like eighth grade a lot.
I loved eighth grade.
Best movie of the year, right?
I don't believe in bests.
Oh, boy.
But it was really good.
I will give it a...
I don't believe in bests.
But hashtag so be best married. Nonetheless.
Yeah, but except for men. There's one best.
You don't believe in best except for men?
Rate men. Rating men is
rate
fine.
Rate them. Put the hierarchy down.
I feel
down.
Objectified right now.
I'm sorry.
You're the worst.
I will give this a holy roast because as much as I love JG, as much as I love actually a lot of stuff in this movie and how it captured medical, like just bill paying, struggling to pay the bills always works. I feel like, oh shit, we have bills to pay.
I loved how they went into the financials, like line by line of like, $1,000 both ways for Boston.
Yeah.
Like, here's our mortgage. Here's this and that.
If you haven't watched the movie yet, guys, there's a 15-minute montage where they just do spreadsheets and try to, like, do their taxes for the next year. It's really gripping.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt midway through your mm-hmm. rating, but we didn't talk about the heaven scene at all.
That's
the annihilation land she went to.
Oh, that's so
that's
funny.
After. We can talk about it after the rating.
Okay, okay.
Afterlife can be discussed.
Ah, hey. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you for running the show.
Oh, boy. Holy Roast, it all felt hollow to me. I didn't like the kind of like, and then the having the cake and eating it too, and the tree is magic, but also everything is magic. So Holy Roast for me. So the afterlife, what else did we want to say about that?
They showed heaven.
Yes.
That was so interesting. Oh, you know what? Now I'm thinking about it. Maybe part of the Monet was like for
I thought
people,
that was setting it up.
Yeah, yeah, for people that don't think like she actually went to heaven. It's just like showing this is how she got
just,
the imagery.
She just went into a painting?
Yeah. Or like that's where she picked up some of her imagery.
Yeah.
Because I've heard people, I was reading about they call them NDEs. There's a name, near-death experiences, for these, like, people who go to heaven and see Jesus and see grandma and see all these things. And, like, depending on the faith you're into, you see, like, a different God or different family
that's
and things like that.
Well, yeah,
so it's kind of like a dream in a way. Like,
yeah.
It's what you think death is. Even as you're dying, you're, like, still
well, the other movie that you guys
be.
Were going to have me watch was the same idea.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Heaven
and that
is
little
for
kid
real.
Goes to heaven. His heaven was like just clouds and blue sky. Hers was like walking through a forest and then walking on clouds.
A
and
little
then
wet
she
dreams
was in water.
May come. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, but it also looked like terrifying because she was completely alone, just wandering around like in this forest.
That girl
or
was good. I thought she was like, a good little actress.
Sounds like a bummer.
She was. Yeah.
But
anyway, sorry.
By the way, same producing team as Heaven is for Real.
I'm going to watch Heaven is for Real. No joke. You sent it and I was like, I can't wait to watch this.
Heaven is for Real is such a trip.
I'll PayPal such you the strange... extra $6 yeah, to rent it.
I didn't
it.
Get the first PayPal. Are you sure you didn't send it to me?
Aaron, well, okay. Yeah, I'll confirm after. I almost said all your info. Aaron?
No.
No, and I did Venmo and I and could not cancel it. There.
Really?
No.
Because I got halfway through setting up a Venmo at one point, and then it asks, it like makes you put your bank password in, and I was like, I don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But we've all done it, so it's okay.
I don't think it's good.
You're probably right. Like, you'll be the only one that has money at the end of this decade.
We'll find out in a couple
Venmo
years.
Venmo did get, a bunch of people on Venmo got hacked recently.
So there was a lot of false transactions on Venmo.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So hopefully it wasn't any of us. But listen, we're not the final word. You're the final word listener. Go to @ChristianFunFun on Twitter. Give it a Holy Rose, Holy Toast, or a space between. Get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Pokemon, go to the polls, please. All right, we did it. Heaven is... Not heaven is for reals.
Heaven is for reals.
Miracles is heaven is for reals.
Miracles is for reals.
Miracles is heaven for reals. It's a miracle. Do you believe in miracles is for reals heaven? Uh-huh. Oh, boy. Okay, let's bring it down. Smackies? Spring down to space. The candles are lit. The band still, the really cool band Third Day is still playing, but they're playing one of their slower songs on the stage right now. The lights are dipping down even lower. The sink is running in the other room. It's like a waterfall. Aaron, the way this works is we don't plug ourselves or our own projects. We lift them up as a spiritual offering.
What about the game we're playing?
Oh, we're not doing that.
This whole email really misled me, much like your religion.
Just that part. Come
on. Oh my
on.
Goodness. Aaron, you're a real truth seeker. I like that about you.
She's curious. No, this is seriously one of the things I appreciate about you. No, seriously. Your thoughtfulness and your kindness and your challenge, I've always really appreciated.
That's so nice. That's really nice, because I did sit here for most of the podcast being like, I think I'm being mean.
No, but we know you are friends. So we'll start with Caroline. What do you want to lift up?
I'm going to lift up myself at, if you care to see me more, you can look at Caroline's Farts on
see
Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to lift up, I just finally watched Three Identical Strangers on the plane, which you lifted up a long time ago, but it was great. And it actually kind of pertained to our conversation a little bit of like, do we even get to choose the kind of person we are and making the same jokes and all this stuff? And that movie kind of talks about that problem a little bit, and it's really fascinating and just a great film.
Oh, yeah.
Documentary. Go check it out. Oh, actually, you know, I'm going to recommend another documentary that I watched on the plane called Generation Wealth. It's about this photographer who's done like documentary style photography for so long and just realized after a while that she had this theme of like wealth and what it means in America. Mm-hmm. And it it's a thinker. It'll make you think. So I recommend watching that. It's very watchable, too. It's not like a very dry documentary.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
We turn to Aaron.
Hi. I'm Aaron Whitehead.
Hello. Hello,
Aaron,
hello.
This is weird to maybe reveal at the end, but I just saw your Wild Horses show with Kate Berlant a week or two ago.
I love her.
We were dying. We were just having a great time.
Oh, thank you.
If you're in the Los Angeles show. County area, please go see Wild Horses at Largo.
Yeah,
thank you. Oh my God, that's
so
such a nice
fun
way
to see
to
that. Yeah.
Plug it so I don't have to.
It's very
nice. Yeah,
please go see a Wild Horses show. It's great. They're,
honestly,
they're
giddy
an amazing
up, yeah.
team. Giddy up on over.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. Then I don't even have to lift myself up.
No, please do.
Lift
talk
up your
about
Twitter.
Your, do you have any upcoming shows or anything you'd like to let people know about?
Well, it's January. Let me see what I have on the books. Wild Horses is the first Saturday of every month at UCB. And I know we have a show somewhere else this month, but I don't remember the date. Luckily, we have an Instagram at Wild Horses Show, so you can find all that out.
Hell yeah.
And my Twitter is at Girl With A Tail. And my Instagram.
Great follow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Barbara Streisand. No, who was I thinking of?
Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters.
I was like, I said that. And I was like,
that is not what I meant.
Yeah. Jessing Yentl.
I was just thinking about her today because I was like looking up, I was trying to look up a version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and like everybody has done it. I couldn't find the one I was looking for. But
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
I'd like to lift up Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Check it out. Any version. Great song, especially now that it's January. Just
needs it.
Get back. Get back.
We should have just talked about Christmas right now in January.
That's what everyone wants. No one wants it to be over.
I feel like the window for like Christmas music listening and when we're all thinking and talking about it is so short, and it gets shorter every year. I feel like it's a race to like find new stuff and get new stuff.
You feel like the Christmas season gets shorter every year?
I do. Like, I don't feel where it's like, oh, we're playing it after Halloween. I don't feel that at all. I want it to start in August now.
Yeah. I mean, it's always playing in my head. I feel like it's just more like in November I release them. I'm like, sing. You can sing out loud now.
No one will be mean to you.
Fly, darlings.
Probably every other day of the whole year, I'll suddenly hear someone singing a Christmas carol out loud, and it's me. And I'll be like, get back in. We can't do that out loud yet. Like, I forget. I'll be in the car, and it just comes out. Okay. Oh, yeah. Lifting up. Okay. I'm reading. Can we do books?
Yes.
I'm reading such a good book right now. I'm not even done with it. I'm like 3/4 of the way through, but it's called The Psychopath Test by John Ronson. I love it
I started reading that book one time.
I love it. And I don't like true crime stuff. I don't even usually like nonfiction that much. Like, I like select ones, but I tend to be a fiction person.
Yeah.
His writing, there's something about him that's very disarming. Like, he always sort of puts his own dumb human behavior in there in a way where I'm like, oh man, I love that you just called yourself out. You know, like, he'll be talking about how he went to see some guy speak, and I'll be thinking, I'm kind of skeptical, and he'll be like, I was thinking I'm kind of skeptical of this guy, and like, but he'll do it in this like self-effacing way where you're like, oh, I was dumb to be skeptical. Oh. Like, what a jaded thought I just had. He like knew it and called his own thought out. And he's just very charming. He's probably going to probably turn out to be a sociopath. I haven't gotten to the end of the book yet.
That's the twist.
It's a fiction book?
No, it's nonfiction. Oh, okay. But he's like a journalist researcher, and this book just sort of like...
So You've Been Publicly Shamed, which is a book people have talked about.
And I haven't read anything else. I'm so excited that I've like just discovered him because I really like his voice.
Cool.
He does fall into a hollow tree at the end of that book, unfortunately.
But he dies.
Yeah, but he doesn't get better.
He's finished by his wife.
It's the miracle of death.
Yeah, that's a good ending. It's a miracle.
He was a sociopath.
Death is kind of a miracle, I guess.
I hope so.
I'm so sorry. I did like a bad job of I didn't remember to do this part of it. But I just recently saw the show Wanderlust on Netflix.
I've been watching
Toni Collette.
That.
Love it.
Toni Collette's great.
Loved it, and I loved the show Sisters on Netflix too.
I don't know Sisters.
It's an Australian show. It's based on that. This was a real news story a while back, and I don't remember where it originated, but it was a fertility doctor. It was found out that he'd been using his own sperm to impregnate many, many, many women. And this show starts with that premise.
Oh, my God.
It's a comedy, but it's really it's really good. That's what I'll lift up for now.
Nice.
Yeah.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter. I will lift up two things on opposite ends of the spectrum. One is a podcast called Believed by NPR and Minnesota Public Radio. Investigative journalism podcast about Larry Nassar, Dr. Larry Nassar, and all his horrific crimes. So it's another one of those, another one of the like really bad men do bad things, but told through a very interesting perspective of like how the parents believed, like why was this okay? Why did it happen for so long? Very well put together, very well done podcast. Very scaring and disturbing in parts, but if you can handle it, listen to it. The other thing I'll lift up is The Intern, because that movie friggin' rocks. And I watched it again last night.
Intern with Robert De Niro,
De Niro and Hathaway.
I like that movie, too. But it's not one of my favorite Nancy Meyers. To me, it's like a sidestep over. I like it, but it's not...
Yeah. It's complicated, is what you're saying.
Oh, so it's complicated.
Caroline was perfecting her impression of Alec Baldwin while watching that movie, I recall.
Okay. Oh, my God, yeah.
You know that noodle thing?
It would have that noodle thing. No, but I remember it just being like a lot of bobbling and wobbling. If you watch him, he's always
so
kind of shaking when he says his stuff.
He does like a lot of this, like an old man head shake. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. When he's defending himself or when he's making a joke, it's like a very That's funny.
Anyway, but The Intern's good.
I forgot about that.
It's a movie that answers the question, what if Paddington was Robert De Niro as an old man? And I like it a lot. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Leave us a review. We donate a dollar to charity. This
month's charity is going to be a little bit inspired by our movie. It's going to be St. Jude.
St. Jude.
They don't turn down families based on whether they can pay or not. They try to take everyone, and they're funded by individual donations. So give your own money to St. Jude,
Hell
too.
Yeah.
Help them out.
Oh, great. Erin, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, my God. You're welcome.
What a great time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming into this dangerous religious space.
It was long overdue.
I mean, you could tell I was terrified. I was very cagey at the beginning.
Were you? No, you weren't scared.
I mean, I don't think it's without reason. Like, there's a lot of, there's a lot of stuff.
I would never try to put you in a bad position.
I was more scared of myself, I guess, than I was of you guys. I was scared of what I would do.
Scared of your own power and that you have over us.
No, I'm not a power over you. I was scared of what my insecurity around Christianity would make me do in a defensive lash out way. And I think we saw what it did. And I think it was entertaining.
And it was good podcasting. Truth be told, I've said this about a lot of things, but I think conversations with Erin years ago, you can draw a straight line to those and what the podcast is now. Yeah. Like a lot of the guests we have on. The similar, so thank you for those conversations. Great.
Multiple times I've seen Kevin reenact the conversation, playing both parts, and he'll switch to Erin.
And I said, I don't know. I have a different perspective.
Switch to Erin,
and Erin was like,
really insane. Yeah, and the voice sounds crazy.
Erin. Oh, and there's nothing left to say except for all of Pod's people said,
Amen.
Let's go out with a contemporary hit.
Oh, God. He's in the best film.
I mean, this song I don't think is about medicine, is it? You and I collide?
Yeah.
What's it about?
You know, it could be about parents, family.
Sex, right?
I would assume.
If you're colliding?
Yeah.
That's what
we
I call
assume.
Sex. Do you want to collide?
Collisions.
Do you want to get in an accident
head
today?
Head-on collisions. Uh-oh, I'm going to get a DUI.
I want to give you a trauma you'll never forget.
Oh, Lord. Oh, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
I sent Nate to the hospital one time.
Ew! Oh, hi, y'all. It's me, Amy Grant. Wow. Okay, that was fun. Great movie, great guest. Oh, good times all around. Kevin seemed to really have fun in that episode, too. He seemed very confident and very secure. Those are like the two words I would use to describe Kevin T. Porter more than anything else. Confident and secure more than anything. Well, next week on GCF, who's we? You know, I try to include myself. They don't let me. But, you know, next week on GCF, Kevin and Caroline are continuing the hunt for the best Christian song of all time. Y'all, no homework. Oh, school's out. No homework. Happy New Year, y'all. Woo. Okay, Amy, Moon, Grant, over and out.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.